Worms, Captain of Compost, Doctor of Dirt, Old Natural Howard, and lots of other goofy names. I call him Dad. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. It's a beautiful morning here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Frost on the pumpkin. In fact, there was a lot of frost out there this morning. It's interesting. My phone says it's 30 degrees out there. My car said 37, so it's somewhere in there. But anyway, beautiful, beautiful sunrise this morning. Unfortunately, it was to my back. I didn't notice it until I started turning in here to the station. But welcome. We will be here for 3 hours, either on your radio or on dirtdoctor.com, the live streaming there, if you need to go there for any reason. And we're going to be talking about a lot of things. A telephone number, if you want to jump in here. And by the way, Mary Rose, my screen's not up in here, so whenever you have time on that, I've got a bunch of stuff I got to do first anyway, so we probably won't go to the phones until after the first break. But the number is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. I got to thinking this morning about the show, and something dawned on me. The reason is I was, as always, hearing recommendations made by other people, other radio stations, other columns in newspapers, et cetera, and my job here not only is to teach you how to do the right stuff, first and foremost, I guess, is to teach you what or is wrong with the things that other people are telling you. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time on that. One of the reasons I was thinking about that is that our latest newsletter, and by the way, at the break, I will put it on a link on Facebook. There must have been some problem with the link, because I've had a couple of different people ask me if they could put our newsletter on Going Green, Truly Going Green, on their publications and out to their people. And, of course, we have no problem with that at all. It's one of the reasons why we do it. We want as many people to pick it up and use the things that we write as possible. But at least one of the folks said there was something wrong with the connection. So I'm going to put it on Facebook, see if it works, and we'll see if there's an issue there for you. Newsletter's free. If you don't take it already, just sign up on dirtdoctor.com. And you'll get it. It's an electronic newsletter. Comes on a weekly basis. Lots and lots of people take it. Covers one subject at a time. If you don't want it, click on the deal. It says you don't want it there at the bottom, and it won't be bothering you anymore. But most people like it a lot. One of the responses that I got was that, as always, it was an eye-opening post, and some of the soil amendments and fertilizers that I thought were green turned out to be not so green after all. So anyway, check that out. The things that we recommend here that are probably 180 degrees from what you'll hear other places and read other places is that now that we're in January, even though we're broadcasting across the country, and this varies from area to area, but assuming quite a lot of you are throughout the South in zones 7 and 8, and if you're anywhere close to that, we are in business now for the first fertilization of the year. The folks that push the chemical fertilizers, and there's some exceptions to that. I've seen some of the golf courses already fertilized, and a lot of that is pre-emergent herbicide applications more than fertilizer, I guess. But the people that recommend chemical, high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, and even some of the organic people are still recommending that you wait till April to put out the first fertilization of the year. Couldn't be a worse recommendation as far as your fertilizer schedule. Fertilizer needs to go down now in January, and for sure in February. One of the nice things about the organic approach is that You can do a lot of the things that we talk about any month of the year. But for an ideal situation, the basic organic program that we recommend, the first fertilization goes out now through February. Organic fertilizer, of course, at 20 pounds, somewhere between 10 and 20, but 20 pounds is what we especially recommend for people just getting rolling in the program that we recommend here. 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet. If you're doing small area, of course, that's 2 pounds per 100 square feet. And the other thing is, if you need to plant something, it's a great time to do it. It's still a wonderful time to plant all kind of woody plants, trees especially, but any kind of woody plants. All the tough perennials can still go in. It's a great time to do bed preparation, and we'll talk about that because we recommend completely different techniques there. Our tree planting recommendations are to dig big, wide, ugly holes and set the trees high after taking all the mulch and burlap and twine and wire and everything there is off the top of the ball. It has just been fascinating to me, and I look at this stuff all the time, to notice how many trees are coming out of growing operations and being sold through the retail trade and through contractors that are incredibly deep in the balls, in the containers or in the ball and burlap balls of the tree when you buy the tree. In other words, there's too much soil up on the stem of the tree, up on the flare, which is part of the trunk. So planting trees, very, very important for you to pull the burlap back, take the excess soil off the top of the ball, and then plant that true top of the ball higher than the ground grade because you're going to get a little bit of settling. And we want that flare to ultimately be right up there at the surface or a little bit higher than the surface. It's virtually impossible to plant a tree too high. How many trees are planted too low out there today? Well, other than people that are into what we're talking about here, just about 100%. I've been flabbergasted at how it's getting worse rather than getting better. Also, another thing we do differently is we plant some of the vegetable crops like asparagus and Irish potatoes earlier. You can do it right now. It's a great time to do it. If you plant asparagus, soak them, get them totally saturated, which we recommend for any kind of plant that you're putting in the ground. The root system, and of course with asparagus, all you're planting is the root system, needs to be completely hydrated before it goes in the ground. And it makes an enormous difference about how well it will establish and how well that first crop will be. So asparagus, time to go. Irish potatoes, it's time to go. And I learned that from one of my local buddies here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and it's been corroborated by some of my buddies that are actually certified organic growers around the state. If you plant early and get some early growth and then catch a freeze that knocks the top back, it doesn't hurt anything. They just grow right back out. So especially in the milder parts of the country, Irish potatoes can go in now. If you want to wait a little while, you can do that too. But if you want to get a jump on things, get it going. As far as getting other things started, tomatoes, peppers, all those kind of things, great. If you got a greenhouse situation, but way too early to start getting them outside, you can get a jump on things with tomatoes, for example, by starting them as seed or little bitty transplants, step them up to a little bit larger transplant containers. In other words, 2.5-inch containers to 4, to gallons, to 5 gallons, keeping them warm and everything, and then set them out when they've got a much bigger root system when it's warm enough, and you will have a crop faster than any of your friends. Let's see, we got also a question that came in from one of the people getting the newsletter and listening to the show about mistletoe, said that I mentioned it briefly last week and they missed the technique on getting rid of it. Mistletoe is a parasite, and it's pretty easy to control with the organic program. There is no spray to kill it. There's one on the market that's I forgot the name of it, but it doesn't work anyway. It's recommended to kill mistletoe and also some other parasites in trees. We've tried it in the past and had mixed results, not very good results at all. So I don't think there's any spray that'll get rid of mistletoe. But right after this break, let me go ahead and birds are flying in. Let me do the break and I'll tell you about how to really get rid of mistletoe and cover a few more things. We'll spend some time on In Howard's Garden and start taking your phone calls at 866-444-3478. I'm Howard Garrett and I'll be right back.
XO Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor eliminator air freshener. It's non-toxic, pH neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors, but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try XO Odor Neutralizer. XO has an exclusive offer just for Dirt Doctor listeners. An 8-ounce pump spray and a 16-ounce refill bottle for only $19.98 with free shipping. Go to exocorp.com/dirtdoctor or call 800-442-9696.
I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
EcoSafe provides natural, organic pest control to take care of pests without using harmful, toxic products. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. EcoSafe specializes in the use of Spectra products to eliminate pests naturally. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities to the pest control companies. Call 1-855-825-2849 or go to EcoSafePest.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. I'm going to do this mistletoe thing real quickly, and then I need to tell you about our doggy that needs some help, and then we'll go to the phone lines. We've already got a bunch of people holding. Appreciate that. Mistletoe is gotten rid of by getting the tree healthier. Sure, it doesn't surprise a lot of you to hear that. Mistletoe attacks basically trees that are in stress. And, you know, in that category is are trees that are just always in stress, that just aren't very healthy to begin with, like hackberries. And that's where you'll see mistletoe the most. Probably secondly, elm trees that are in stress for some reason. And then some of the oaks will get mistletoe if they're in trouble. So the answer is the sick tree treatment, which is get the soil off the base of the tree. It's always the number one thing, of course. If there's soil on the flare, which is part of the trunk, the tree is in stress, no question about it, and things like that can pop up. And if the tree's real deep in the soil, it can be serious. We have had reports, and I've seen it myself, where putting out nothing but dry molasses on the property around the tree that has mistletoe caused the mistletoe to shrivel up and die and go away. You know, that's part of the sick tree treatment. Doing the entire procedure, which is to remove the soil and mulch and flower beds from the base of the trees, aerate the entire root zone, which on residential property is the entire site, and then applying the rest of the amendments that we use for bed preparation, compost, rock powders, and sugars, mistletoe will go away. You can speed it up by trimming the mistletoe out, then doing that procedure, and generally the mistletoe will not come back. So that's the way it works. Now, our dog this week is a beautiful doggy, just gorgeous coat. It's Chip. Unfortunately, Gary and Jeremy from previous weeks are still waiting for a home, so let's take a look at them. Their pictures are on our website on dirtdoctor.com, and they need some help. But this week's dog is Chip, 8-year-old, 43-pound Australian Shepherd mix, and that's really what he looks like, rescued from inhumane conditions. Not good there, but he sure looks beautiful. He's doing all right now, apparently. He's very well-mannered. He's calm. Loves to get fed and go on walks. It doesn't look like he's overweight at all. Really pretty. He does a special little dance when he's about to get either one of those things. Sounds like our little tater. Also loves to be petted and brushed. gorgeous coat. That's obvious from the photographs. And he gets along well with other dogs and with cats. So check out Chip on our website. Click on the SPCA button, and that's the SPCA button just west of downtown Dallas. Go down there and help out these wonderful dogs. It's the Jan Reese Jones SPCA down there just outside of downtown Dallas. And for those of you around the rest of the country, the rescue organizations, various ones out there, are the places to support and get your pet. So hope you take that advice. To the phones, and then I've got a bunch of stuff we'll have to work in as we go. I'm going to have a guest at the beginning of the 9 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Kat. Kat's coming in. Kat James, you've heard on the show before. She's got a real great story about her health going from being really bad to really great, and I want to talk to her about some of the health issues that I had on my mind anyway, so that's going to work out good. For right now, it is Barbara first up in Coppell, Texas. Hi, Barbara.
Hey, good morning, Howard.
What can I do for you today?
Well, I have got an orchid. I've got an orchid, and it is probably 5 years old, and it's going to fix into bloom. And I was looking at one of the bottom leaves, the bigger leaf at the bottom, and it's kind of discolored, but it's got these whelps on it. The other leaves are fine, and the roots are growing out, and it's got a bloom coming out, but it's got these big old whelps, raised whelps on the bottom leaf, and I don't know what it is or what you want me to do about it, but I've got to do something. I want to save that plant.
Well, orchid, we got a ton of orchids, and a lot of ours, the lower leaves are looking kind of ratty right now, too. So it's kind of a common thing for them to turn yellow and look, you know, have a bad color and fall off, and the newer leaves, you know, take over. So that possibly isn't anything to worry about at all. Now, the welts,
is
a different deal. What I might recommend that you do, we've learned through the, you know, trial and error that the Garrett juice is a wonderful fertilizer and is fine to use on the foliage of the orchids. I wouldn't spray it on the buds or any flowers, but if you want to mist a little Garrett juice with a little bit of hydrogen peroxide in it, if that is fungal or bacterial, or even viral, it would take care of it and do some foliar feeding. So you might want to do that. On the other hand, Barbara, it could be just a cosmetic thing and an attrition deal that it's kicking off an old leaf. And nothing really to worry about.
Okay, well, I did put the Garrett juice inside the orchid bottom, but I didn't spray any on the leaf, so I'll try that.
Yeah, I missed a little on there. You use it just like you would spray it outdoors, add a little peroxide to it, and I think that'd probably be a good thing to do.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate the call.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Well, the birds are already flying back in, so another quick break, and then we'll get back to the phones when I come back, and the number is 866-444-3478. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, back right after this.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure Black Cow.
Black Cow composted cow manure is the perfect soil conditioner for our Texas soils. Black Cow enriches the soil with organic matter and helps retain moisture. Now is the perfect time to prepare fall flower beds and fall vegetable gardens. Getting the soil ready is your first step. Black Cow is fully composted, easy to use, and there's no bad odor. Fall is also a great time to set out new shrubs and trees. It's cooler and less stressful on new plants. Mix Black Cow with your native soil right in the planting hole. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Look for Black Cow in the bright yellow and black bag at your favorite garden center or home improvement warehouse. For more information, check the website Black Cow, spelled with a K.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure. Black Cow.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. We're going to take a couple more calls, and I need to get back into talking about some of the in Howard's garden stuff that I needed to cover for you. There's some tree information where I need to cover what to do instead of what some of the advice is out there for sure. But right now, it's in El Dorado, California. It's Dorothy. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, hi. Well, I hope it's not too late for another Happy New Year to you.
No, it's fine. Thank you for calling. Happy New Year to you.
Well, it's been my pleasure to listen to you. I learn all the time.
Well, thanks.
I'm calling to ask if there's any hope for pencil cactus euphorbia. It's a 15-year-old plant. I've been actually, it belongs to my customer, and I've been caring for it about 10 years now. It's probably a 15-year-old plant that's about 7 feet tall. It's been doing well over all of these years. I may have been not following the traditional way of watering it, but it's been thriving. In fact, about 3 months ago, I had pruned quite a bit of the leaflets back because it's in a restaurant environment, and I understand the danger of the milk that can seep from any cut branches there. Mm-hmm. It's in a corner. There's a lot of windows. It's not directly in front of a window, but I guess I can only say it's been happy all of these years until this weekend. And I found it is sitting in an inch of water. And yeah, I don't know if I'm going to meet my demise faster than this tree will, because I'm totally shocked by this.
What happened
well, that I don't know. I've spent the weekend just searching and trying to figure out what could have happened. Maybe it's a perfect storm. One of the girls at the restaurant said that maybe it's customers who are greeny-minded, and they take their extra ice or water in their glasses and dump it. And I know that there's evidence of that in plants out in the patio. So that's a possibility. The other thing is people have been telling me maybe it's old and it's suffering root bound and it wasn't releasing the water that it did receive. Anyway, to save you some time, I can tell you that what I've done so far after researching it with horticulturists in the neighborhood, I've removed the saucer. I've sopped up all the extra water with newspaper. Mm-hmm. But what concerns me is that the soil around the tree itself is sopping wet. And I don't know of a miracle way to release. That's causing the most damage, of course, because it's near the root system.
Sure.
But I've been told to just leave it alone, let it air out. It is dropping some of its little leaflets and the green ones. So, I was told just leave it alone for a month or so and let it dry out. But I don't know. What do you think if there's any hope for this thing?
Do you have any idea how long it stayed saturated?
Yeah, I've tried to figure that out. On Christmas Eve, she closed her restaurant for until January 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And up until then, it had looked very happy. And I have been adding water a little bit, if there's no water in the saucer, and maybe once or twice a week over a 10-year span. On the 2nd, I reappeared, and I looked in, no water, and I added its usual.
So maybe from Christmas to now is when all the problem happened?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, the pencil cactus is a xeric plant. It's very, very drought tolerant. So too much water is kind of exaggerating, you know, a kind of a fatal flaw that it has. It's a fatal flaw if you water too much. I would say, Dorothy, that kind of backing up and responding to everything you've said, I think that watering twice a week is definitely too much, and I think watering once a week may be too much on a pencil cactus, especially if the soil has started to drain less than it used to, and if the people are dumping ice and things in addition to what you're doing, that's a problem. So first step is education of the employees there and make sure everybody doesn't do that anymore. The second thing is the reason that too much water hurts a plant, it's not that it's drowning, but it eliminates the ability of the plant to get oxygen when it's in an anaerobic situation, when it's waterlogged condition, especially a xeric plant. So what we want to do is reverse that process. We can provide oxygen to it with hydrogen peroxide. And hydrogen if you are you using an organic fertilizer on the plant?
Yes, I have used seaweed. Thank you.
Yeah, fish emulsion would be a little stinky in the restaurant. So,
yeah,
you might want to consider the entire Garrett juice mixture. It's great for interior plants, and you can add the hydrogen peroxide to the Garrett juice mix. Let a quart of hydrogen peroxide from the grocery store replace a quart of water in the Garrett juice formula. You follow what I'm saying?
Okay, yes. Mm-hmm.
And the hydrogen peroxide will provide now this is only going to be done the next time you think it's dried out enough to water it again. We're not going to rush that. We're going to first do what you're doing is let it dry out, keep the ice from getting in it, and you don't water it anymore and really let it dry out. Then we're going to treat it with the Garrett juice with the it'll still probably be moist the way it's holding water, it sounds like, but wait a while to do it, and the hydrogen peroxide, I think, will help you turn it around. And then get on a program of watering probably not any more than once every 2 weeks.
Right. I'm trying to be open-minded about this, and I keep saying, well, I've done this for 10 years, and it's a big pot. It's like a 5-gallon or more clay pot.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been thriving, as I said. With, in fact, when I've not been able to do it, like maybe for a week or so, and the staff has added the water to, per my instructions, if they don't do it, I see the leaflets shrivel.
And yeah, so but that's the worst. That's the worst thing that'll happen. You're not going to be damaging the plant very much at all overall by it getting a little bit too dry. You're always going to hurt a pencil cactus or anything that's a xeric kind of plant like that more with too much water than not enough. So the only other thing I need to go on and help some other people, but the only other thing I might recommend to you is that you take it out of there for a while, put something else in so that you have it totally under your control.
Right. Yeah.
So
I, that's
give,
not going to be possible.
Okay.
But may I ask you a quick question about propagation
of
the leaflets that are there? I know that in that type of a leaflet, you wait until it scars and then you can plant it into a medium, and that should take root in a long time, a few weeks. But my question is on the green leaflets that have fallen, they have. Do you think they have a possibility of propagating? Or have they been damaged? They look like a perfectly good leaf. The stem itself looks like it's already scarred.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're talking about part of a little piece of the pencil, a little piece of the stem has fallen,
correct.
Not just the leaf. Yeah, no, I think you can plunge them into perlite or an organic potting soil basically at any time. I don't think they necessarily have to callus over first. It would be interesting to do it both ways and see which way works best. In fact, I will put you in charge of that research. So let's find out for sure.
I will. I just wondered if it's already sick when it's because it's fallen off of a sick mother.
Well, but it'll still propagate, though. That's not a problem.
All right.
Dorothy,
thank you so much.
Yeah, give me a follow up on
it.
Yeah, let me know how it works out. Okay.
Thank you for your help. Bye bye now.
And Dwight in Detroit, Texas is next. Hi, Dwight.
Hi, Gary. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Two quick questions. Does muscadine have another name?
Well, some people just call it a wild grape, but muscadine is the proper term, yeah. Mustang grapes and muscadine grapes are sometimes confused, but they're actually a little bit different.
Okay, well, I've got a big book at home, Organic Garden, about Rodale or I forget. Anyway, it's an encyclopedia of organic gardening.
Yeah, that's an oldie. Yeah.
They've got everything in there from domestic animals, fruits, vegetables, you name it. But I have never found anything about muscadine in there.
Well, we've got a little bit about them in our book. It's called the Texas Organic Vegetable Gardening Book, and it's a bad title because we cover fruit as well as vegetables in it. Malcolm Beck and I did it. So take a look at our recommendations there, and we also have the same information on dirtdoctor.com.
Okay, and what was the name of the book?
It's called Texas Organic Vegetable Gardening. It's got two bad things about its name. It says Texas, and it doesn't say that it covers herbs and fruit, but it did.
Okay.
We started out doing it as a vegetable book, and as we got into it, we decided to add all the other food crops as well, and UT Press had already put in concrete the name, but it's got information that will help you with the muscadines and Mustang grapes.
Okay, what time of the year do they ripen?
What time of the year what?
Do the muscadines ripen?
Oh, they ripen like other grapes, you know, in the summertime. It'll vary depending on how much light they're getting. It's a grape that you'll find growing out in the wild that can actually produce in a pretty shady place. So it depends on how much sunlight it's getting, how much, you know, what the weather's like, because a lot of times, in most cases, it's dependent on rainfall rather than irrigation. But it's a summertime producer.
Okay. All right, I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. Talk to you later. All right, let's do a couple of things. One is on pruning trees. This is a great time to prune, no question about it, but a couple of things. Bob Webster and I were talking. We always talk about trees and related kind of things when I do the 30-minute show with him on Saturdays. He still recommends painting the cuts of red oaks and live oaks when they're in an oak wilt prone area. And I say that's okay. I don't do it here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and I haven't for years and years and years. And I've never seen a problem if the trees are kept in healthy conditions. I think that the pruning cuts heal much, much better, much faster if wound dressing or pruning paint is not used. I think it's far more important for the cuts to never be made as flush cuts, which some people still recommend, unfortunately. The cuts should be made so that the branch collar is left exposed. That means that there's a little stub there. And you can see pictures on our website about exactly how that works. The cut will be round when you look into it if it's made at the right place. I'll talk a little bit more about pruning when I come back, and then we'll go back to the phones. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. Recovery Nutrition is not only about food, but also about proper hydration. High-quality water is mineral-dense and not processed for the greatest amount of nutrient absorption and a more speedy recovery. Crazy Water naturally contains over 11 minerals and electrolytes. Nothing is added. Crazy Water is so good, it's crazy. Get some today at Whole Foods, Central Market, HEB, Kroger, Brookshire's, Albertsons, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's programs works better, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. We need your support. Go to TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org to donate. Stop the broad-scale use of toxic chemical pesticides and fertilizers. Donate at TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org today. That's TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org. Again, TexasOrganicResearchCenter.org.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. The thing I want to finish up on trees is that a lot of the advice about tree cut, tree pruning, and pruning paint and all that is, in my opinion, the best way for you to go is just common sense. Trees don't need to be thinned out heavily every year. A lot of people believe that. I think a lot of people in that business promote that to get more work. But some trees can really be injured by thinning them out too much. Cedar elms are definitely in that category, and some other trees are too. So prune your trees if they need pruning, but don't overdo it. Don't lift the lower limbs just indiscriminately. Doing that too much is detrimental to the tree. Thinning the trees out too much is detrimental to the tree. And personally, especially in the middle of the winter, I don't use the pruning paint or the wound dressing. The people that are concerned with oak wilt really start talking about using it in the spring, late winter, early spring, and then through the spring. And that's fine if you want to do it. But try to get the tree care company that you're using to use lac balsam, which is the only wound dressing that breathes. It stays soft and it breathes, and it doesn't foul up the callusing and the healing of the wound. That's my objection to wound dressings. And there's research going way back on this, all the way back to, you know, some experts in the tree field that have been writing books and doing recommendations along the lines I am for a long, long time. Dr. Shigo and others, that pruning paint slows down the healing of the cut. So in most cases, it's best not to do it. Okay, let's see. The mistletoe we talked about. The other thing about what to do right now, you may have gotten a soil test from one of the university companies, and you may be looking at doing bed preparation and fertilizing based on recommendations that come from a soil test. If your soil test that came from a university says that you have way high levels of phosphorus in the soil and you shouldn't use any kind of compost or organic matter or fertilizer containing phosphorus for some number of years, tear it up and throw it away. It's not good advice. There is, in some cases, too much phosphorus in the soil in certain parts of the world and in Texas, but a lot of the times, and most of the time, in those situations, the phosphorus is not available. It's tied up in the soil because of calcium and magnesium imbalances, and there not being available carbon in the soil. So don't worry about that. If you put out organic fertilizer and it has phosphorus in the product, no problem at all. There is discussion about synthetic fertilizers that need to be balanced, complete and balanced. You've probably heard those terms. That doesn't mean much with the synthetic fertilizers because it's impossible for those products to be balanced. They are completely imbalanced because they are high nitrogen. They have primarily NPK. They have very poor makeup of trace minerals in the product. And the big missing thing is carbon. There's no carbon. There's no organic matter in the products. That's why the organic fertilizers, we call them natural organic fertilizers, are truly balanced because they have not only nitrogen and phosphorus and potassium and a really nice blend of trace minerals, but they also have carbon, organic matter, and carbon, that's that buffering agent, and an extremely high percentage of the nutrients in the organic fertilizer is available to the plants. Synthetic fertilizers, you know, like a 20, especially if it's nitrogen only, they're just horrible products. 24-0-0, something like that. It's the worst thing you can do for the balance of the soil is put out something that's just nothing but nitrogen. The products that you want to put out have a blend of all of the kind of nutrients and stimulate biological activity, and that's why they work so well. There's tons of information about more detail on that on our website on dirtdoctor.com and also in my books, any of my books, we talk about that as well. We're in the process of doing a whole series of videos. A big portion of them are going to be put into a test, a certification test to become a certified natural organic through Texas Organic Research Center, and we'll be covering those kind of things in that course. We'll keep you posted on that. We're right in the middle of doing the taping of the various videos right now. Allie in Dallas is next up. Hello, Allie. Is that correct?
Yes, that is.
What can I do for you?
Hey, so I am trying to implement some more companion plants into my gardens, and I'm having a hard time getting information about how far away or how close it needs to be in order to be effective.
Companion planting, in my opinion, Allie, is that you just plant as many things as you can, have just tremendous diversity in the plants, and not worry about which one of the plants is going to be the most helpful to another plant. I have great luck just putting a lot of stuff, having a lot of color, a lot of blooms at a lot of different times during the season and all that. If you had something else, that's kind of a fast answer for you there. Hang on, and after we get through with our interview with Cat James, I'll speak to you about it some more. And if you want to just call back, that'd be fine too. But we'll be visiting with Cat for just a little bit. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. The website is dirtdoctor.com. The newsletter's free. Just sign up for that on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com and go into the library and look up things if you need a question answered.